Today's scripture reading is taken from Psalm 131. Please take this time to open your Bible. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, we're going to look at this Psalm 131. It is part of the Psalms of Ascent. I think I mentioned this before. There are 15 Psalms that the Jewish people, when they go to Jerusalem, they read this or they sing this while during their journey. So they call it a Psalms of Ascent because they, you're going up to Jerusalem, because it's on the higher ground. So as you walk up, but these 15 Psalms, we are at 131 now. I've skipped quite a few, you notice. but these 15 Psalms, and it is where do I point? It's not moving. Oh, yeah, turn it on first. Okay, I'm not a very good engineer, okay. You have to turn on before it works. Okay. It's on. And then it doesn't work. You just hit it a few times and still doesn't work. Okay, you have to change it. It's on. Okay. So I found this on the internet. And someone put the 15 Psalms on steps. And 131 is here. This one is 131. So, you cannot read this, obviously. So they put the theme of each psalm on each step. So these 15 psalms represents our journey, our personal spiritual journey to maturity. So as we walk this journey, and we go step by step, and as we climb higher, it's harder. It's harder to learn. And if you remember, I'm sure you remember, the very first psalm that I did preach on, Psalm 120, and it is about get up. So to be able to travel, walk up to this Christian journey, the very first thing you do is to get up, get off your seat. Well, the first thing you want to come to prayer meeting is just get up, walk to the prayer room, and you want to go to church, you have to get up first. So the very first Psalm, 120, is about getting up. And then as you go through the 15 Psalms, each one gets harder. I did not preach on 129 and 130. It is about sufferings. As we move on to this journey, as we get older, as we get more mature, there's suffering. Isn't that, you know, being a Christian is we always only talk about joy, the happiness, but no, there's suffering. And then as we get to 131, this is one of the shortest psalms in the Psalms. And it is the shortest in the Psalms of Ascent, in these 15 Psalms we're going to study. But Spurgeon, one of the famous preacher in history, make this comment on Psalms 131, that it's one of the shortest Psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. So today we're going to look at this Psalm that is very challenging. Very difficult. It may be short, but it will take our lifetime to learn. As we go upstairs, going up steps by step, and we will realize that it gets harder and harder. It is like in karate. You know, in karate, after you get a black belt, now you have 10th dan of black belt. Right? So when you get the 8th dan, it is very difficult. So today we look at this psalm. It's very difficult, the teaching here. It may look simple. It's only three verses, but it is very hard to learn because as David mentioned earlier. David picked some very nice songs, very good, almost response hymn. I haven't finished, start my sermon yet. But some of him, the last one about humble king, the hardest lesson for us to learn is humility. And this psalm, by the time you get to 131 as a Christian, you should be a fairly mature Christian, like most of you, been to church for some time, been a Christian for some time. As we get more experience as a Christian, we take up responsibilities. We could be leading a fellowship, leading a small group, or we could be even be a deacon, a department head, or an elder of the church, or even a pastor, a church full-time worker. But as we travel this spiritual journey, the older we are, the more mature, quote-unquote, we are, it is more difficult and more challenging to be humble. This may sound, doesn't sound right, right. As you get more mature, shouldn't you be more mature? Right? But it is not. So the psalmist, King David, said, okay, let's move on this way. What happened? I skipped a few here. Can you move back? Go back on. Okay. So Psalm, the very first verse of Psalm 131 says, "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty." Now here, verse 1, David is talking about being proud of oneself. He started with your heart. My heart is not proud. And everything comes from our heart. So the psalmist here, the very first thing he attacked or mentioned or point to is our heart. Because above all else, guard your heart. Because everything comes from our heart, as Proverbs 4:23 said. And humility is a strange thing. The moment you think you have got it, you have lost it. So the moment you think that you are humble, you're not. It's a very strange thing. David here points to our proudness, our being proud, our pride, our person, ourselves. It all started with our heart. That's why we should guard our heart first. And being an Asian Chinese, we always pretend to be humble, especially Chinese. I mean, we all realize that. You know, if you ask someone, you know, do you know how to play ping pong? They always say, no, I'm not very good at it. Right? Well, unless you ask a Melvin, when he says he's good at it, he is really good at it. Right? But for the rest of us, if you ask a Caucasian, then he tend to say, I'm really good at it. So one time at work, we have a ping pong table in the basement. So at lunchtime, some of the colleagues, the Caucasian, said, let's go down and play ping pong. And then I said, are you really good at it? I said, I'm really good at it. No, and then there's another guy from China. And then I said, no, Ron, come along, no, join and play ping pong. I said, no, I'm not really good at this. Oh, come on, I'll teach you how to play ping pong. So they all went downstairs. So after an hour, came back, and then the two Caucasian guys said, all exhausted and tired, said, no, I'm not going to play ping pong with John again. This guy is really good, right? Even though he said that he doesn't know how to play ping pong, right? So with Chinese, we always tend to be, pretend to be humble. But really, in our heart, are we really humble? Sometimes we say that, no, I'm not good at this. But in our heart, are we really mean what we are saying? Humility starts with your heart. So that's why psalmist here point us to our heart. Maybe you change this for me. My heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. Actually, the word proud, proud and haughty, Smith, very similar thing, even though they're two different Hebrew words. But they both mean to be high, to set on high, to be raised, uplifted, exalted. So both meaning here, the haughty, the high, meaning we are being high up there, looking down at people. This thing is not working, my friend. Maybe you change it for me. I will start again. Where am I now? Okay. But here, the eyes and the heart is actually meaning the same thing, meaning the whole body, because this is a poem. So a poem, you need to use some imaginations. So our heart is high, our eyes are haughty. So they're saying that your whole person, your whole body is high. We're looking down at other people. A proud person, maybe you can change the slide for me, maybe. Okay, next one. Wait, next one. Okay. Okay. A proud person looks, compares, competes, and is never contempt. So a proud person always look at other people and try to see that the other people is not as good as him. So it's getting 90% is not good enough if your neighbor's son gets 91%. But if he gets 89%, then it's okay. Then 90% is good enough. Even if you get 60%, as long as everybody else gets 59%, then you feel very satisfied. So a proud person, he looks, he compares. He always compares with other people, and then he competes, and is never contempt. And a proud person always think that he is better. He is good. He's always better than the other person. A proud person always sought to be lifted up. A proud person doesn't like to give praise to other people. And when was the last time you say appreciation to other people? So not too many people appreciate the pastors, I noticed. So when the last time you say thank you to the elders, to your deacons, to your fellowship leaders, to the audiovisual team, even though things are not working, but you should still go and thank them. A proud person always think that I deserve better. He always longing for other people's attention, and he's incapable of rejoicing with those who have more. So when a proud person doesn't like to ask for help, so when was the last time not only that you give praise to other people, but when was the last time you accept people to help? We don't like people to help us because that will show us that we are not as good. We need help. We are proud of either maybe our authority. We are proud because maybe we are more knowledgeable. We are more educated. We are proud maybe because we think that we are morally better than the other people. And as Christians, we have to be even more careful. We are proud because we feel that we are more holy than other people. And the proud people, so I raise my hand if you change one slide for me. Okay. So a proud person, usually they don't admit that they are proud. So nobody can tell me I'm not humble. So now we are like that, isn't it? Right. So a proud person, I will never admit that I'm being arrogant because he thinks that I am just doing fine looking down at other people. Or do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me? The word involve here is actually walk, the original Hebrew, to go, to walk. So the psalmist here is, well, this is a poem, so we have to look at this with a little poetic mind. So we're talking about one's heart, one's eye, and then one's feet. So that means it's your whole body. So your eye, your heart should not be high and look down upon other people. And your feet, your doings, your actions. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Now, this doesn't mean that we do not do great things. We want to accomplish great things for church, for the God. But here, Psalmist is reminding us we do not do great things and try to play God. We try to be God ourselves, like Adam and Eve when they eat the fruit. It's not just because they are hungry, because they want to be as knowledgeable as God. So the danger is here. Pride is about my own glory. Humility is about God's glory. And here the psalmist reminds us we have to be careful that we do not try to do great things, not try to be, he's not trying to say that we do not do things for good, but try to be careful that we are not trying to be God ourselves. We're not trying to do great things for ourselves. Pride is about my glory. Humility is about God's glory. And when we try to do things human, we have done many things. Next one. Last year, if you read the news, the Chinese scientist produce gene-edited babies. And if you read the news, there's uproar in around the world, condemnation. We're alternating God's design. This could bring many problems. Maybe it may bring disease to human that we've never seen before. So I'm not going into detail on this. But here, man is trying to do great things, trying to play God, trying to alter the sovereignty of God. And this is dangerous. So this is what the psalmist is trying to say here. Today we have atomic energy and try to split atoms and try to use the atomic energy to produce bombs. We also use it for producing energy. But after nuclear energy has been developed for close to 80, 90 years now, but even as today, if you're an engineer, you will know that we have not come up with a way how to handle the nuclear waste yet. So what we do is we just store it in a room, actually it's underground, in a desert in US, in Nevada, where they store all the nuclear waste, underground, in sealed cans, and hoping that one day we'll find a way how to handle nuclear waste. So today we're concerned about environment, but electric car is not necessarily more environmental friendly, not if you are in France, because 75% of the electrical energy in France is produced by nuclear energy. So electric car is not necessarily environmentally more friendly. But when man try to split atoms, try to play God, there is a consequence. So as of today, we don't have a clue how to handle nuclear waste. We just store it for the future generation to come up with a solution. So the psalmist here reminds us that man, not only our eyes, our hearts, our actions, we should not be proud. We should not take over the glory of God. When we do that, we will be unsettled. We'll be unsettled like a newborn baby. So verse 2 said that, "Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me." Psalmist is using a very beautiful illustration here. And seeing that I have, you know, that we have the two children. And I still remember when they first born, the first few months. And all they do is cry, they struggle, I can see some of the mothers here smiling. The older one, the younger one said, "What? I never did that. I was always a good baby." But if you have been a parent, you will know that, you know, the first few months, it's very challenging, especially for the mother. But the child will be screaming their head off, his or her head off. It's always just want to be fed by the mother when he or she is hungry. It's very unsettled, moving around, but once it's fed, then go to sleep. So this will go on for months. So all the child wants is just food, milk from the mother. It's very unsettled. And the psalmist here is trying to use this as an illustration. When our heart is proud and our pride taken over us, when we look down on other people, or when we try to play God and do great things that God may not want us to do, to get into, because we just want to elevate ourselves, we want to be a famous scientist in the world. And when we do that, our heart, our whole person will be unsettled. We'll be moving around. We want attention, but we'll be unsettled like a baby. Before the baby is weaned, the word here. But the psalmist goes on to say that. But the child will eventually grow into the next one. And he'll be quiet. Now, when a weaned child will no longer looking for just the milk, he'll be resting quietly, peacefully in the arms of the mother. It's not the food the baby is looking for. Now, the baby is looking for the quietness, the warmth of the mother. Now the focus is from the milk, from the food to the mother. So the psalmist here is using this as an illustration. That when our heart is in God, when our eyes look upon Jesus, we will be like a baby in the arm of the mother. When we're in the arms of our Heavenly Father, we will be a very settled, a satisfied, secure a baby. So for us to be a humble person, it's not what we have to do. You may ask, so Pastor Norman, what's the Bible teaching us? What do I have to do to be humble, to get away from being proud? The action is in action, is to relinquish yourself and just lie down yourself in the arms of God. That's the way to humility. It's not what you have to do more, it's just the opposite. It's to do less, to put yourself into the arms of your Lord. When we are in God's arms, we know that we are not better than other people. We know that we are ruined. We are sinners. So when we are in God's arms, then we have this satisfaction from being with our Creator. When you are in the arms of God, then you will know that you are insufficient. You're not good enough. You are inadequate. You have to depend on God, not yourself. When you are in God's arms, then you know that you are poor, you're blind, you're naked, you are miserable. Humility is the other side of the coin of God. With God, we have humility. And pride is the other side, obverse is the side, two sides of a coin. Pride is the obverse side of the confidence in oneself. So when we are in God's arm, our natural outflowing will be humility. It is Jesus' humility in us. when we are in the Spirit, when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we don't have to act, we don't have to try to be humble. If you have to try to be humble, then you're not really very humble. It's really hard to be try to humble. It is a natural outflowing of God's Spirit in your life. When you are in God's arms, you will be like Jesus. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Put your hope, put your eyes, turn your eyes in Jesus, in the Lord. There was a hymn that is an older hymn. If I remember right, it was actually written by our founder, Dr. Simpson. Once it was blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is the word. Once his gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Once it was painful, trying, now it is perfect trust. So once you are seeking for God's blessings, but now you want the Lord. So the psalmist here is teaching us, when we try to go after our own desire, when we have pride in our heart, when we have our own goal in our life, when we look down upon other people, when we look down on other people, we cannot look up to God. So when we try to seek after our own will, we will be disturbed. Our heart will not be rest. We will be unsettled. We will never have this tranquility in Jesus. Psalm 120 is the start of a spiritual journey. As we become more knowledgeable as a Christian, more mature as a Christian, when we get to 131, we may think that you are a mature Christian. This is the time for us now to reflect that 131. Are we a unsettled baby still after a long journey, spiritual journey? Or are we a quiet, composed, controlled, settled child in the Lord's arm? Some years ago, we have a chance to go to Quebec as a visit. And there's a beautiful waterfall. It is not a very big waterfall. Who has been there before? It's in Quebec City. No? Okay. No? All right. Okay. If I remember the name right, it's called Montmorency Falls in Quebec. It obviously is not as big as the Niagara Falls, but it's not really big, it's small. But it's really beautiful. And the nice thing is that you can actually walk very close to it. And you can walk so close that you can almost take a shower in there. You can get really wet. And I've seen people actually fishing. I don't know why they actually sat on the bottom of the fall and fishing there. I don't know what kind of fish will be there. Next slide. If we look at the next slide, you can see that the waterfall is actually funneling down. You can get really close to it. You can get actually all wet. And it's so noisy that you almost cannot talk to the people next to you. But you feel that, no, this is so much turbulence in the stream, in the water. And it's quite a scene. But you can walk up to the top and you can see a suspension. You can see a bridge on the top there. You can actually walk up there. It's all free. You can walk up there and then you can look down from above. And it's quite a spectacular scene. So when I look at this water here, it just reminds me when I'm preparing this sermon that our hearts sometimes is really unsettled, just like this waterfall, roaming all the time. But as I walk up to the top, and then I saw a very totally different scene. In the next slide, we'll see that. Once I get up there, it's really interesting. And the water is very quiet. You can actually see yourself. It's like a pool. Almost like the water is not flowing. But don't try to jump in there. The water is flowing because the water from that pond, if you want to call it, is actually supplying the waterfall. So the water in the pond is actually moving at the same speed as the waterfall. But when you look at it, it's so quiet. It's almost like a pool of dead water, but it is not. So when I was preparing this Psalm 131, and then I think of this picture, are we like the waterfall, unsettled? If our heart is hard, our eyes are haunted, we're seeking after our own ambition, we look down upon other people, we lack the humility that Jesus demonstrated to us, we will be like the waterfall, we will be unsettled. Is your life, your heart unsettled this morning? Or you can put yourself in the arms of Jesus, of our Lord. And you could be like this pond, this quietness, tranquility, silence, composed. But the water is not dead. No, don't be misled that you think that if you're up there, the water is not moving. The water up there is moving at the same speed as the water going down. Yesterday during lunchtime, someone asked me, you know, oh, you must be stressful, Pastor Norman, to be a senior pastor. So I told her, told her sister, I'm not stressed. because I'm not stressed at all. Because what I'm doing, I may work long hours, but I'm not stressful because what I'm doing is all for the Lord. When you can see that you are doing this for the Lord, why am I stressed? It's the Lord's work. It's all glory go to the Lord. I'm not stressed. So when your heart is with God, when your goal is in God's direction, when you lay yourself to the arms of Jesus, you'll be like that pool of water, quiet, composed, not in action. You're actually in action, but you are quiet. But when we try to put ourselves, our own ideas, our own goal over God's, we'll be like the waterfall. We'll be like the baby crying for food. It's easier to be in action. It's a lot challenging to be quiet in the Lord. It's easier to ask people to come and help out at Fun Fest. It's more difficult to ask people to come and sit down and do nothing and pray. So this morning, I urge all of you to ask yourself, is your soul quiet today? The next one. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against its mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me.